Good morning. We invite you to join with us in the morning service from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches for Sunday the 20th of September. Our service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our worship. The one who shaped the universe crafts us into a community of faith, a people to shelter the homeless, a family to feed the hungry. The one who made kittens and elephants shapes us in the divine image so we can glow with grace as we welcome the lost and the least. The one who blesses us with flowers and waterfalls gifts us with the way, the truth, the life, so we can go to tell the story, to bring healing to a broken world. Our opening hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Let us pray. Lord God, we come together today to offer you our praise and to thank you for your love to us. We praise you for the wonderful things we see around us and enjoy, for the beauty of the world, the miracle of birth and new life, and for all that thrills us and surprises us. And we thank you for the love that fills our lives, for family and friends who care for us and about us, for your love revealed in Jesus Christ, and for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which supports and strengthens us and changes our lives. God of all life and love, we thank and praise you. How can we forget them, calling God? Those who have been thrown aside by the world, those whose cries are no longer heard by the powerful. How can we judge them, those who make choices with which we disagree, those who are so different from us? How can we still follow the hurlers of angry words, the purveyors of prejudice? continue to teach us better ways of living and doing, God of grace. You gather us from our foolishness so we might be led into acts of mercy. You redeem us from our mistakes so we might bend down and feed those who hunger for hope. Your compassion, so warm and tender, is gifted to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, in whose name we pray. Do not be afraid. More than anything else, God would rather turn fetid swamps into pools of crystal clear water, bonds of sin into cords of compassion, sinners into servants. God loves us. God forgives us. God lifts us to new life. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Hello. I thought that I would start this For All the Family with a game. Now, I know we can't all see each other and we cannot move around or shout out answers, so the game is very simple. I will ask you a question and all you have to do is to imagine or pretend putting your hand up. The game has never been played before and probably will never be played again. It is called Have You Ever Said? So, pretend to put your hand up if you have said one of the following. Hello. How are you? Happy birthday. Easy, eh? And I'm sure most of you will have put your hands up for those. What about? It wasn't me. I am not tired. Are we there yet? And finally, it's not fair. Now, I have three boys and four grandchildren, with two more due to arrive very soon. And all of them, and I suspect all of you, have said, it's not fair at some time. I know I have. Well done. And that is the end of the quiz. And the prize, if you can call it a prize, is a story. The story is not based on any of my children, grandchildren, or anyone I know. So let's listen to the story now. Harry looked at his present. It was okay. Actually, it was great. Just what he wanted. Granddad always chose well, and he'd needed some new football boots. He'd been really excited when he opened the parcel. Grandad could tell how pleased he was by the huge beam on his face and his big thank you. So yeah, they were great and he was really pleased. Until Fred had opened his present. Two brand new computer games. And not just any old games, but the latest ones that everyone wanted, including Harry. Now, of course, Fred was absolutely buzzing. He couldn't thank his granddad enough. He must have said, I can't believe it, thank you, I can't believe it, over a dozen times. Typical, Harry thought about his little brother. He's so pathetic. You all right, Harry? Granddad asked. Yeah, fine, thanks, replied Harry, though it was obvious to everyone that he wasn't. I'll just go and put these away. As he went up to his room, Harry was fuming. How come Fred always got the best stuff? He was so spoilt. It wasn't fair. Harry? He looked up to see his mum in the doorway. She didn't look very understanding. In fact, she looked cross. What was all that about? Did you see what Fred got? Harry said. Yes, and I saw what you got too. You've wanted those boots for ages. Grandad bought you just what he thought you wanted. Yeah, but, Harry, there are no buts. I can't believe how you've just behaved. I bet Grandad's really hurt. He thought that was the best present for you. I've a good mind to ask him to take them back. She left the room, leaving Harry on his own with his thoughts and his boots. They were great, and they were the ones he wanted. He started to feel really bad. Harry got up and set off downstairs to thank Grandad again. Later this morning, we're going to hear another of Jesus' parables in which several people, like Harry, say it is not fair. It is a parable about a vineyard owner who needs some people to work in his vineyard. First thing in the morning, he agrees to pay some men to come and do the work. They start working and everyone is happy. A bit later, he realizes that he needs more people, so he goes back and agrees to pay some more men to work in the vineyard. Later on, still, he has to go back to get more people or else the work won't get finished. Finally, the work is done, and he gathers them all together and pays each of them the same amount of money, whether they'd worked all day in the hot sun or just for the last hour. Now, I am sure it won't be a surprise to know that those who had been working all day did not feel that it was fair that those who came later got the same money. The parable is not, as I am sure we will hear from Craig later, about the money, or even how bad the landowner is at working out how many people he needed to do the work. It is about the generosity of God. The landowner points out that he has not been unfair to those who came first. After all, they agreed to work for a day's wages. He has simply been as generous to those who came last. Let us thank God then for his overwhelming generosity, and remember that all are welcomed and should be treated equally, just as the landowner did with the workers.
Our second hymn. The Lord's my shepherd. I will trust in him alone.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you. And I will trust in you. I will trust.
A reading taken from Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 to 15. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.'" That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. The parable of the workers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Any of you who are parents or teachers, or who have looked after a neighbour's child for a few hours, or observed children out with their parents, pretty much all of you really, will have heard the plaintive cry of a child declaring that it's not fair. Surely every child in the world has claimed that it's not fair at least once, and most will have frequently uttered those words. It's not fair. It's what children and many adults say. My parents' response to me when I cried, "It's not fair," was that life is not fair, not fair at all. Some have more toys and some less, some more friends or not as many, some with less talent and some with more, and so on and on. And on at least one occasion, "No, it's just not fair. Not fair at all that you are the child and I am the parent, that you have to follow the rules and I get to make them, but that's the way it is." But seriously though, life isn't fair, is it? We see good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. We see some people work for hours for a morsel of bread and others make hundreds of thousands of pounds with a simple phone call. We see some who are physically fit and look after themselves die suddenly, and others who abuse themselves live to a ripe old age, and so on. So many things aren't fair. That's why I thank God that we have a God who is fair, a God who can be trusted to do the right thing, a God who promises to right the wrongs and even up the scales, if not now, then a bit later, a God who makes true that old saying, "What you sow, so shall you reap," who makes true the expression, "What goes around comes around." Thanks be for a God like that. So much of the gospel is reassuring. So many of the stories of Christ bring hope and joy and peace to us and those we love. We hear of the kingdom of God, and we long to be a part of it. But in our gospel reading for today, Jesus tells a parable about the kingdom of God. It is like a landowner hiring labourers for his vineyard. Labourers are hired in the early morning to begin the day's work. But the landowner goes back throughout the day, the unemployed waiting in the marketplace, and he hires more and more people as the day wears on. At the end of the day, the landowner pays each one the same wage, the regular daily wage, which was just enough to feed a family for that day. The earliest workers cry out, "Unfair! We should get more, or them less."
but the landowner pays each worker the same amount. And at the end of the day, no matter when the workers arrived or how hard they had worked, they all receive the same daily wage, just enough to feed their families for the next day. It really offends our concepts of fairness, doesn't it? I suspect we've all been brought up with that Protestant work ethic. You work hard to earn a living, you don't expect a free ride. In fact, that is part of our church's historical stand against gambling, for that encourages people to believe that they can get something for nothing, and that goes against everything we are taught. It even goes against what we believe about the kingdom of God, a realm and a rule that include justice for all. What is justice, if not fairness? Is not justice each one getting what they deserve? So the kingdom of God, as Jesus describes it in today's parable, makes us a bit uncomfortable. I'm not sure that the kingdom of God is going to be an entirely comfortable place to be, because in this kingdom, people don't receive what they deserve. They receive more. Any child would be able to tell you that is not fair. But that's not fair. In fact, we are tempted to say that it sets a bad example, this parable. It sets a bad example, like so many of the other things that Jesus says and does, like eating with tax collectors and hanging around with prostitutes and known criminals and healing people on the Sabbath day and telling sinners that they are forgiven simply because they have faith in him, simply because they repent and trust him and believe in him to be good to them. He sets a poor example, this Jesus of ours. Poor by the standards of this world, anyway. And as for God, his Father and ours, the God we have said Amen to today, and so many other days, isn't he the one who sends the rain upon the just and the unjust, and makes the sun to shine upon the righteous and the unrighteous? What's fair in that? Why should the evil and the proud and the greedy and the hateful get the same refreshing rain that the good and the humble and the generous and the loving get? Why should those who have not laboured long in the sun receive the same as those who have? This parable offends my common sense. Yet it warms my heart and tugs at my soul. We far too often feel we have earned what we have and more. Yet the gospel points out that we all live by grace. God is generous to all, the just and the unjust. In our reading from Exodus, we encountered a group of folks with a very human problem. It's a real honest-to-goodness problem. It's not in their imaginations. They are starving. The children of Israel are so hungry that they look back fondly to their lives in slavery. Now that has to be bad. In the end, God answers their plea for food, and the manna and the quail came to everyone. When I was exploring this passage online with a group of ministers, one of them, a minister in Nova Scotia, said this. She said, and I quote, "Stop looking for a fair God and be thankful for the one you've got." Stop looking for a fair God and be thankful for the one you've got. Rather provocative, isn't it? Provocative, I think, in the very way that Jesus wants to provoke us when he tells us his story about the generous vineyard owner. All of Jesus' stories are meant to provoke a reaction in us, you know. They are supposed to shock us and make us think, make us feel, make us take sides. They come, after all, from the one who said in the book of Revelation, "I know everything that you have done, and you are not hot or cold. I wish you were either one or the other, but since you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out." One of my colleagues told me that if a sermon doesn't get to you, if it doesn't make you feel just a little bit angry, or a little bit ashamed, or a little bit lifted up, and hopefully all of the above, then maybe it's missing something. Who are you with? Who do you feel for? Are you with the labourers who worked all day and received what they agreed upon? Or the ones who are hired late in the day and received what they could not possibly earn? Are you with the oldest son who worked hard and didn't squander his inheritance? or the wretched sinner who was delivered from the pigsty and pollution of his own foolishness. Where does all this leave us in our wonderings about justice and fairness? What is the nature of God's justice? It seems to be about injustice, about people receiving more than is their due, more than they deserve. And I wonder where our human need to draw the line, to say who deserves what, to make sure I get my fair share, comes from. I guess it comes from fear. The fear that there won't be enough. And so we have to make sure we get what is our due, so that we will have enough at all. We operate in our day-to-day lives out of a fear of scarcity, rather than an experience of God's abundance. And so we start talking about justice and about fairness. Well, we deserve this. We earned it. It's ours. The trouble is that sometimes we in the church fall into the trap of believing deep down that we deserve God's grace, which is, when you think about it, a contradiction in terms. We deserve God's forgiveness? Perhaps that is because when we come to God for forgiveness, we're only really paying lip service to our sinfulness. We don't really think we're all that bad. We come to church. We give to the church. We give to Christian Aid and many other charities. We don't steal or lie or cheat. We're okay after all. We certainly are better than that old so-and-so who lives down the road. But we aren't, are we? Or maybe we are. But does it really matter when it comes to the heart of a parent? Does it really matter when it comes to the heart of God? Aren't we all ones whom God has yearned for? Aren't we all ones whom Christ calls, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? Aren't we all his dearly loved children, even though some of us have been around longer and have done good things all their days, and others who are second or third or fifth born and maybe have not done as much? We are all his children, and God loves us all. That's a hard thing to stomach when we have burdened ourselves with a merit system and want to see some extra reward for our efforts, rather than seeing things from the point of view of the God who loves us so much that he doesn't even spare his own son for our sake. No matter when they arrive or how hard they work, the workers in the vineyard all get what they need to live. We are all his children, and we all need his love. We all need his forgiveness. We all need a day's wage if we are to live. And praise God, that is what we receive when we respond to God, when we follow Christ and seek to do the work that he has set before us to do, the work of the vineyard, the work of pointing the way to wholeness, to salvation, by worship and prayer, by service and example, by love and care for one another and for God himself. For in God's kingdom of true justice and peace, we will all get much, much more than we deserve. And I thank God for that, since I'm not sure I want to receive what I deserve. I'm too aware of my faults, of the times I've hurt others, of the times I've been shamefully less than who God calls me to be. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is that I and you are always set free from our failings. That is the truth of the gospel, isn't it? That we don't get what we deserve. We receive grace instead of judgment. We don't earn God's love. We respond to it. God loves you. End of story. God loves you. Beginning of a brand new story. Let us live that new story. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn. Brother, sister, let me serve you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to gather today, whether it be in our churches or at home with family, or listening on our phones or laptops, on our own or with others. We are all part of a worldwide family of Christian worshippers, wherever we are. We know you understand our needs and our worries for ourselves and for others, and that you watch over us wherever we are and whatever we are doing. And we praise and thank you for your care and compassion towards us. Today we have welcomed Ethan into our church family through baptism, and we have made promises to nurture him as he grows and on his journey in the Christian faith, and to support his parents, Catherine and Keith, as they bring him up. Help us to keep these promises. We rejoice that he is healthy and happy and loved by his brother Jack and sisters Bethany and Charlotte. We thank you for all our church families and children in St Andrew's and Wallington churches. We ask that they are kept safe and grow in love for you, Lord. Many aspects of the world seem unfair and unjust, and sometimes we feel life is unfair to us as individuals. Restrictions due to the resurgence of COVID have meant plans have had to be cancelled for holidays, for meeting up with friends and family, and for social events. You know, Lord, that we struggle with not being able to worship and praise you through singing, and that many in our congregations are unable to come to church, and that this is a great sadness. Yet we also know that these small sufferings are minor compared to the deprivations of those in poverty and those who are oppressed in our world. We entreat you to relieve the current situations in refugee camps, particularly in Greece, where those who had very little now have nothing at all after fire devastated the camps. We pray to you for countries where the pandemic has had a devastating effect on the lives of the most vulnerable. Particularly we pray for India, where the incidence of child labour and child marriage has greatly increased, leaving children with no hope of education or a childhood free of worry and care. We ask for your care and compassion for those who have lost loved ones, homes and livelihoods due to the wildfires in America. We thank you for all those who support, care and minister to all those who suffer. And we ask that they in turn are kept safe and given strength as they witness and try to alleviate human suffering. We pray for governments and all those in authority across the world, that they might have the wisdom and the generosity of spirit to act with compassion and with mercy towards their own people, but also to the people of other countries. We pray that they might take appropriate action to reverse bad decisions that affect adversely the lives of others for whom they are responsible, whether directly or indirectly. We thank you that we are all equal in your sight. We know that your grace and mercy is not dependent upon our own efforts and desires, but our salvation and place in the kingdom of heaven is a gift from you, freely given. Help us to rejoice in the faith and service of others, and to be gracious and generous in the week ahead. Give us the humility to value others above ourselves, and not to look to our own interests, but to the interests of others. We ask that as we interact with friends, family, and all those we encounter, we have a generosity of spirit in our thoughts and actions, and a heart full of forgiveness for those that cause us pain or irritation, whether intentionally or otherwise. May we praise and glorify you, Lord, with our generosity. May we sing your praises in the way we live our lives, and be faithful witnesses to your kingdom of love and truth and fairness to all. We offer you these prayers in the sure hope of your goodness and mercy to all people. Amen.
Our closing hymn. Let us build a house where love can dwell.
Let us build a house where love can dwell, and all can safely live. a place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Here the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
Let us build a house where prophets speak and words are strong.
Life is short, and we don't have much time to gladden the hearts of those who travel with us. So be swift to love, make haste to be kind, and go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon us and all whom we love, this day and always. Amen.